Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
All right, thank you. All right, are we on? Okay, I think we're on now, yes. Okay, cool. All right. Well, Happy New Year to everybody. As we enter in a new year, that's often a time when people think about resolutions. And, we've had so many challenges in 2020 that, not to mention so many needs as well, that perhaps here in 2021, your hope is that you'll make a real difference, make an impact here in our church, as well as in our community. Or because of 2020's challenges, maybe some of your relationships aren't as connected as they once were. And so maybe in 2021, you're hoping to really grow your relationships, to be in relationships where you're being built up and encouraged and where you are building up and encouraging others as well. Or maybe because of 2020's challenges, through those, you've grown a bit distracted and distant even, perhaps, from God. And so in 2021, maybe part of your hopes are that you'll experience more of God's love, as well as his power at work in and through you. Well, if any of those resolutions I just mentioned resonate with you, then today is a great Sunday to be here as we continue to explore the topic of spiritual gifts. Now, with spiritual gifts, there are many differing perspectives and experiences with the gifts. And so, but in light of that, like last Sunday, if you have any disagreements or complaints about what I have to say, dave@nwchurch.org is the email for that. As Dave's on vacation, he would be glad to answer your concerns right away, standing by to do so. Of course, I'm just kidding. I'd be glad to explore further with anybody one-on-one the topic of spiritual gifts. And also, it was great getting to connect with some of you over this past week talking about spiritual gifts, and helpful for as I thought about what to share today. But before we get to today, we'll share a little bit about what we did last Sunday. There we saw that God's Spirit gives his people spiritual gifts. They can be enrichments of already given abilities that you had before following Jesus, or they can be new capabilities. And either way, God's Spirit is now working through you in these gifts to impact others. And like the individual parts of a human body, we all have functions, we all have needs, and so we need each other's gifts here in Christ's body to build up this church, as well as to represent Jesus to our community. And with the spiritual gifts last Sunday, we also saw that love is essential with the gifts. For without love, we can get caught up in things like prideful comparison between our gifts, selfish use of our gifts, refusing to serve in ways that we aren't gifted even when it's called for, and judging and having conflict with people who have different gifts and different ministry passions than we do. And then finally, last Sunday, we discussed two things that can help you discover your spiritual gift or gifts. First, to prayerfully study the Bible's teaching on spiritual gifts, which we're going to do more of today. And then the second was to try serving in various ways, paying attention to the input and impact that emerges as you serve. You know, the kind of input you receive from others and are drawn to seek out, those are clues to how God is at work through you. And the kinds of impact that you have on others and that you personally experience are also clues to God's gifting of you. And so with that review complete, if you've got a Bible or Bible app this morning, you can go ahead and open to the New Testament book of Romans chapter 12, which is where we'll start this morning. And if not, no worries, we'll have the verses on the screen. And if you're new to reading the Bible, the big numbers are chapter numbers, and the little numbers are verse numbers. And again, that's Romans chapter 12, where we'll start this morning. Now, God's word says that every believer in Jesus is a gifted one. And so this morning, we're going to cover each of the spiritual gifts listed in the four New Testament gift passages, which are Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. But now let's look at Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8 on spiritual gifts. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So here in verses 6 through 8, we see some spiritual gifts listed. Prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, and showing mercy. And so if you compare this gift list here in Romans 12 with the gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4, you'll notice that there's some overlap between the lists, but also that the gifts listed in each passage varies. And because of that variety, some people think that the gift lists in these four passages are not exhaustive, but rather common examples of spiritual gifts. And so some add to the list things like artistic gifts, based on places like Exodus 31, where there's a man said to be filled by the Spirit with artisan gifts to lead the tabernacle's preparation. And some add to the list the gift of hospitality, because it's commanded near two of the spiritual gift lists. So the point is, it's possible that there are additional gifts beyond the ones we'll cover today. But for this morning, we want to dive in to cover the gifts listed in these four passages here in the New Testament. And rather than go through each passage one by one, we're instead going to cover the gifts in categories this morning, with each gift that we cover this morning being found in at least one of these four New Testament passages. And the three categories we're going to use to organize the gifts come from Dr. Robert Clinton from Fuller Seminary, who's studied a great deal on spiritual gifts as well as on leadership in the church. And Dr. Clinton, he categorizes the spiritual gifts into three big categories, which are love, power, and word gifts. And the love gifts are used by God to demonstrate God's love as God works through his people. They manifest God's love in practical ways to all people. And some people who do not yet know God, they need to experience God's love at work through his people to be opened up to God in relationship with him. And the love gifts this morning we'll cover are the spiritual gifts of helps, mercy, giving, and administration. And for each spiritual gift, we'll describe the gift with assistance from Dr. Clinton's work, and then we'll briefly talk about some inputs and impacts you might experience if you have that specific gift. And so as we're going through this morning, note any gifts that resonate with you, keeping in mind that you don't necessarily have to experience every input and impact that I mentioned to have a specific gift. And as we begin, before we go any further, why don't I pray for us that God would use this time to clarify all of our gifting. God, we thank you that you are here with us and at work, and we do ask that you would use this time, that you would speak through me in ways that are helpful and clarifying with each of the gifts and are honoring to you. And God, we pray that you would be at work in each person hearing this morning and that streams this later, that you would be kind of prompting them, nudging them, working in their hearts and minds this morning, giving each of us greater clarity on how you've gifted us, as well as what our next steps would be in exercising that gifting. And so we really want this time to be helpful for everybody, and so we're looking to you, God, to make that happen. So please honor yourself in this time and help us in this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the first spiritual gift we'll cover is the gift of helps, which is sometimes called service. And this spiritual gift can be expressed through meeting practical needs, both inside and outside of the church, both doing common tasks as well as serving in ways that you are uniquely talented or have a unique skill. And the church needs a lot of people with the gift of helps to thrive as well as to show God's love to the community. If you have helps, you may feel a supernatural desire to help others and may find God's joy in helping people in practical ways or serving in church in practical ways. You know, you may enjoy serving behind the scenes, feeling no need for credit, public credit for your service. You may be told that you have a talent to see how service is needed, and you find yourself just jumping in to meet those needs even before being asked. You may be bothered by seeing people at church sitting on the sidelines for a long period of time, not jumping in to help with any of the needs. You may hear things like, I don't know what this ministry would do without your help. So that's the gift of helps. All right, next gift is mercy. And those with this gift manifest God's empathy and compassion for those who suffer and comfort and serve those in distress in God's power. Like with helps, those with a mercy gift may have more capacity to help other people than a typical person does, but they still should seek to discern who God is leading them to help so that they don't take on too much with their servant hearts. If you have mercy, you may be drawn to broken people and situations, the kind of things others may feel comfortable with or kind of want to avoid. You may feel the closeness of God when you are ministering to someone who is in pain. You may find that people talk with you about their problems, even as you're just in line waiting to order some coffee. If you have the gift of mercy, others may share with you that you knew just how to help when they were hurting, that you knew when just to listen, you knew when to serve, and you knew when to give a merciful word that would be helpful. Your heart may just go out to all people who suffer, and perhaps especially to a specific group. Could be those experiencing racism or parents who've lost a child. And you may be really bothered when others seem uninterested in helping these folks who are in need, or really bothered when somebody says something insensitive to one of these hurting people. So that's mercy. And the next gift is giving. Those with this gift manifest God's generosity as they generously give financially to God's kingdom work as well as to those in need. If you have this gift, you may feel God's joy when you give, excited to share from what God has given you with others. Even though you're already giving generously here at our church and to multiple missionaries, you may get pumped when a new missionary asks you to give as well, rather than thinking, oh, I've already got so many financial obligations here. You may think, if you've got this gift, that Christians shouldn't teach on the tithe because it's not in the New Testament and because it limits people to focusing just on giving 10% only. And you may struggle to understand why other Christians wouldn't say only 10% about giving, like you just did. Others may ask you to show them how to effectively manage their finances. And you may enjoy managing yours well, not for the sake of maximizing your savings, but so that you can give consistently, faithfully, as well as be in a position to give in new ways as God prompts. In some cases, those with this gift are also given by God the ability to make a large income. So that's giving. Next is administration, which is sometimes called governance or guidance. And those with this gift are given the divine strength and ability to skillfully organize tasks or people, freeing others to use their gifts and to succeed because of your planning. Like we talked about last Sunday, you may have this gift if you join a ministry and think, I'm so glad we're organized, or why can't we get more organized around here? You may find joy in helping the people or the systems and processes involved in a ministry to get more organized, to fulfill the ministry's mission. People may say that you're good with details and thinking through the steps needed to accomplish a task. Or people may look to you to implement plans or to serve in roles like with the finance committee. Occasionally, someone may thank you for your willingness and ability to do the hard work of planning well so that others can succeed. So those are the four love gifts briefly summarized: helps, mercy, giving, and administration. Recently, Pastor Roderick Barnes preached here at Northwest out of Acts chapter 6, where the deacons distributed resources to widows in need. And those deacons likely had one or more of these love gifts operating in their service to the widows. So does anyone here or at home think you might have one of these love gifts? If so, we praise God for you, and because we, as well as our community, needs you showing the love of God to all of us. All right, and the next category this morning is power gifts, which Dr. Clinton describes as demonstrating the credibility, power, and reality of the unseen God. And some who do not yet identify as followers of God need to experience God's power working through his people to be opened up to relationship with God. And the power gifts include the gifts of miracles, healing, faith, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and discernment of spirits. As we cover the power gifts, this seems like a good time again to mention Dave at nwchurch.org if you've got any disagreements or concerns. Now, if you think from your understanding of Scripture and experience that a specific power gift no longer operates today, no worries. We're just doing brief summaries of each gift. We'll be past it in no time. The first two we'll look at together are the gifts of miracles, which is sometimes called power, and the gift of healing. Miracles include divine power for things like casting out demons and changing the natural order, and healings is obviously divine power for healing. And looking at the lives of the apostles, they couldn't always do the miraculous or heal. And so people with these gifts have to recognize that these gifts are subject to God's will and seek to be sensitive to God's leading, God's working. And it's also appropriate for a church's elders or people who don't have these gifts to still pray for God to do something miraculous, leaving it in God's hands, how he'll answer our prayers. And you may have one or both of these gifts if you have an unusual ability to sense God's power at work, or that God sometimes uniquely releases his power through you to authenticate his message or to set people free. You may have the gift of healing if you have a deep desire to see God alleviate physical problems and believe God wants to heal and pray for the sick regularly, sometimes seeing powerful results from your prayers. Then the next power gift is the gift of faith. And this is more than the faith that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead that every Christian has. This gift of faith is a unique, divinely given capacity to sometimes recognize what God intends to do and to trust him until he brings it to pass, regardless of how difficult it looks. The gift of faith is often expressed through praying for things that God has given you faith to believe. And so some people talk about the gift of intercession in connection with faith. If you have the gift of faith, you may spend a lot of time in prayer, especially praying for the things that you're confident God wants to bring to pass, perhaps in the life of someone you know or in a nation you regularly pray for. You may find, if you have this gift, that the Spirit brings to mind situations or people and prompts you to pray for them right then. Sometimes later discovering why prayer was important in that specific moment. You may be the kind of person who enjoys praying through the whole church directory, name by name. Others may describe you as a prayer warrior or as having a resilient kind of faith. And you may get frustrated when other Christians don't share your expectation that God is going to move in a situation. So that's faith, and then the next two gifts we'll cover are tongues and interpretation of tongues. Looking at Scripture, tongues can be a divinely given ability to speak a language you haven't learned, so someone can hear the gospel, or as a sign authenticating a new group coming to faith in Jesus. Or tongues can be an utterance from God in an unknown language to encourage your personal relationship with God. 1 Corinthians says that these utterances from God should only be done when the church gathers if there's someone present with the gift to interpret tongues so that the entire body will be edified through the message. And interpreting tongues is the divinely given ability to interpret a message given in an unknown language. Tongues is a spiritual gift and no one has all the gifts, so it's wrong when people teach that you don't know Jesus if you don't speak in tongues. But if you speak in unknown languages or can interpret when others speak in tongues, then you probably have these gifts. And next up is the discernment of spirits, sometimes called distinguishing between spirits. Those with this gift have a God-given sensitivity to truth and error, or to when good and evil spiritual forces are at work, using this gifting to seek to protect the church. If you have this gift, you may quickly sense false teaching or a false prophet and feel a strong desire to protect the church from them. If you have this gift, you may be able to discern before others when God or when evil forces are at work in a room. You may be able to discern quickly when someone is acting like they're godly but actually has bad motives or is in a habitual sin. You may seek out God's discernment as well on what to do with what he reveals to you, whether you are to just watch out, or whether you are to pray, or whether you are to take some other sort of action in response. You have the Skith others may describe you as spiritually insightful. They may describe you as spiritually sensitive or as really concerned about false teaching. So those are the power gifts: miracles, healing, faith, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and discernment of spirits. If you go through the Apostle Paul's life in the New Testament, you'll see him at points exercising many of these spiritual gifts. So does anyone here or at home think you might have one of these power gifts? If so, we praise God for you, because we and our community need God working through you to display our unseen God. Then the next category, the final one, are the word gifts. And there's some overlap between the word and power gifts, where a few can be placed in both categories. And Dr. Clinton, he describes the word gifts as those gifts used by God to reveal truth about himself and his purposes that edify people and instill hope concerning God's present and his future activity. So they communicate these word gifts about God and for God. And some people who do not yet identify as God's followers need to experience God communicating through his people to help clarify who God is and to want to start a relationship with him. So the word gifts are apostle, leadership, prophecy, shepherding, teaching, exhortation, word of knowledge and of wisdom, and evangelism. So we'll start with apostle. The office of apostle was held by a few in the time of Jesus, but the gift of apostle continues today. It is the God-given strength and ability to do things like start new ministries, plant churches, or be sent to other cultures to help establish gospel witness. So if you have this gift, you may find yourself often being a leader of leaders, perhaps in a large institution or in more than one ministry or place. You may feel dissatisfied when not in the lead role if you have this gift. And you may be drawn to pioneering new things and taking big risks to help others to know Jesus. You may desire to go to places that have little or no gospel witness if you have this gift. And others may describe you as a visionary pioneer or as an entrepreneurial spirit. And a fun fact, Pastor Manuel's dad has this gift. He's planted and overseen at different points about 20 churches in Chile. Our next gift is the gift of leadership, which is the God-given capacity and responsibility to influence a specific group of people towards God's purposes for that group. If you have this gift, you may find yourself influencing others often and being asked to lead. You may experience God giving you a big picture vision for what he wants to do through a group of his followers and a desire to influence the group in that direction. Others may describe you as being good at winning over and motivating others, or as being good in a crisis. You may get frustrated by seeing someone else lead poorly and may come alive when you get to care for and lead people. Dr. Clinton found that those with the gifts of apostleship or leadership almost always have one or more additional word-based gifts, these spiritual gifts further helping them to influence others towards God's purposes as they lead. The next gift we'll cover is the gift of prophecy. Those with this gift have a God-given capacity to express truth in a predictive, explanatory, or corrective nature that's from God. God works through this gift to admonish, edify, and correct people. And the New Testament gift of prophecy is not on par with Scripture, and so it is to be tested, God's Word says. If you have this gift, you may feel comfortable with or even want to delivering challenging truths in a public context. You may be discerning, able to clearly and quickly see right from wrong, and may feel burdened to let people become aware of their sin, so in the hopes that they will repent of it. You may love sharing a word that shows those who do not yet identify as God's followers about God's existence and truth. You may resonate with the idea that God often gives specific messages for specific situations if you have this gift. Others might describe you as a bold preacher or as a no-nonsense truth teller or as insightful about what consequences will come if changes aren't made. Then the next gift is the gift of shepherding, sometimes called pastoring. Those with this gift are empowered by God to influence a group by caring for, nurturing, edifying, and directing them in God's ways. If you have this gift, you may feel a sense of long-term responsibility from God to care for a specific group of people, showing them concern and encouraging their spiritual growth. If you have this gift, you may really like Jesus' story of leaving the 99 to go care for the one who was in need. Others may describe you as relational and caring, but also willing to correct from error when that's needed. Others might describe you as a good model of the Christian life. If you have this gift, you might be known by the name of Dave Smith. Though someone does not have to serve in a pastoral role to have this gift of shepherding. And often people with shepherding gifts also have our next gift, which is teaching. Teaching refers to the God-given capacity to express God's truth in ways that clarify, explain, and expose it so that it can be understood and applied to life. If you have this gift, you may be energized by, or at least willing, to spend the time to study to really understand God's Word. You may come alive explaining God's Word, whether that's from up front, or leading a small group conversation, or it might be one-on-one, or it might be in writing rather than through in person. You may like teaching God's Word if you have this gift to any age or group, or you instead might have a specific age or group that you have a lot more enjoyment and effectiveness in teaching. As we talked about last Sunday, you, if you have this gift, may also have a theological spidey sense that pops up anytime someone uses a Bible verse incorrectly, say, out of context. You may also have higher standards for teaching than others, being bothered by Bible teaching that isn't totally correct or clear. Or maybe you're assessing the preacher's sermon, the sermon itself, the content, more so than thinking about how it applies to your life. Others may say about you, if you have this gift, that you help them to understand God's Word or that you encourage them to study the Bible more. And next is the gift of exhortation, sometimes called encouragement. This gift is the God-given ability to encourage and comfort people through application of scriptural truth, as well as to urge people to action in applying scriptural truth to their lives. If you have this gift, you may get excited about sharing with others about how to live out their faith, motivating them to work out God's truth in their everyday life. If you teach, your teaching may be characterized more by how-to application than about explanation. In a counseling role, you might be good at comforting others in their pain with your words, or you might be good at helping others to see and motivating them as to what they should do next. Others may tell you that your words really encouraged their faith when they were struggling, or that something you shared helped them to see how to live out their faith in a practical way. You may be bothered by seeing people discourage others, or wish people would encourage you in the ways that you encourage others if you have this gift. If you're familiar with the book of Acts, Barnabas is the classic example of this gift. And then the next two gifts we'll cover are words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And those with these gifts are gifted by God to know what God thinks about and wants to communicate in specific situations. If you have one or both of these gifts, you may really enjoy learning about the Bible and helping people see how to apply its wisdom to their daily life and to specific situations. You may really desire to help others, to guide them away from unwise directions. Others may describe you as knowledgeable about Scripture or as a wise person of insight. And you may also sometimes hear from God specific information about someone that helps you minister to that person. Like, say, God prompting you to know that somebody's thinking about suicide. Or God giving you just the right book to recommend to someone specific that makes a huge difference in their life. You may also, if you have this gift, sometimes hear God's desired direction in a given situation and be able to share that with others in a way that lessens confusion and prompts desire to follow God's way. Our final gift this morning is the gift of evangelism. This is the God-given capacity to influence others with the message of salvation in Jesus. If you have this gift, you may feel a burden to share the gospel and to pray for people who do not yet identify as followers of Jesus. You may be drawn to seek out and develop relationships with people who do not yet know Jesus, and may get frustrated when you see other Christians too far in their holy huddle, only with other Christians. You may not experience the same nervousness and fear sharing about Jesus that other people do if you have this gift. You may hear, you know, you're so good at initiating spiritual conversations and sharing the gospel. I don't really know how you do that. You may come alive if you have this gift, sharing about Jesus in large groups or small groups or one-on-one or all of the above. And you may see over time multiple people come to faith in Jesus and find a very deep joy in this. So, does anyone here or at home think they have any of these word gifts? If so, we praise God for you because we and our community really need God working through you to share who God is and what He's doing and what His will is for us. So now we've covered the gifts in the four New Testament gift passages. So well done staying engaged through all those gifts. Gold star for everybody this morning. And hopefully this has helped you to move towards greater clarity on what your gift or gifts might be. If you know your spiritual gifts, like last Sunday, your next step this morning is to exercise them. You know, there's nothing greater than knowing and serving Jesus, and we need every one of your gifts for that pursuit. As well, we need the more that of us that are exercising our gifts, the stronger our church body will be. Of course, the reverse is true too. The fewer of us exercising our gifts, the weaker our church body will be. And so our families, our small groups, our ministries, our church, our community need your gifts. Yes, your gifts. If instead this morning you don't yet know your gift or gifts, like last Sunday, your next step this morning is to try serving in different ways, paying attention to input and impact. Maybe what we've covered today has helped you to narrow down what areas you should start exploring service in. And remember, as we talked about last week, the Bible does not say that you must know your gifts before you can contribute. At the beginning of last Sunday's message, I talked about having dinner with some folks who've been in the church for some years who felt like they did not yet know their spiritual gift. And I can say with confidence that every single one of those people is adding value here at our church, that they are serving in ways as a gifted one that are helping our church family. But think about how the impact that they're already experiencing could grow as they get more clarity on their gifting and as they start to work on cultivating those gifts and learn from some others with the same spiritual gifts. And all of it, in that growth, God could work through that to grow them and bless them into a place of greater fruitfulness and greater purpose, joyful purpose in their lives. You know, one that blesses them, our church, and our community as they operate more and more in their gifts, the Spirit of God Himself working through them to bring different kinds of impacts that will ripple into eternity. I don't know about you, but to me that sounds like a New Year's resolution that's worth pursuing. You know, imagine the kingdom possibilities and spirit power that could burst forth if every single one of us was joyfully, fully exercising our spiritual gifts to God's glory. And so let's ask God to do that in our midst, and then Jack will come up and lead us in the Lord's Supper. So let's pray. God, we thank you that you are here among us at work, active, and that you have given all of us a gift or gifts to help us to have purpose and joy and impact in our lives, to be a blessing to the people around us, to bring you great glory as you work through us. And so, God, we want to please you this morning and live that kind of life. And so we ask that you would, through what's been shared this morning and as we leave this place and serve, that you would bring more and more clarity as to how each of us are gifted and what the next steps are for us this week to to live in light of that gifting, to exercise it. And God, we pray that you'd help us to do it all in love, because we know that your Spirit provides us with the fruit of the Spirit, which is character-based and love-based, as well as gifts from you, Holy Spirit, through which we can make an impact. And so we know that, God, you want both. You want to be building our character and your love flowing through us, and you want to be cultivating our gifts and for those to be flowing through us too. And so, God, we ask that you would accomplish these sort of things to your glory, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.